Hey everyone, it's Tuesday, June 2nd, and this is the LA Report, a daily roundup of the most essential news in the LA region. I'm Leo Duran. Today, why tensions ran high at today's police commission meeting, how residents feel about law enforcement, the role of LA Metro in the protests, and a moving essay about growing up black in America. We start with Frank Stoltz, who reports on a very contentious police commission meeting that occurred earlier today.
Hundreds of people showed up to the online meeting. Almost all of those who spoke expressed anger over what they say were the LAPD's heavy-handed approach to the protests over the death of George Floyd over the past few days. A young woman described in a quivering voice getting rubber bullets shot at her at a peaceful protest in Hollywood. Others said the use of tear gas was unnecessary merely to enforce a curfew. People denounced what looked to them like a very militarized police force, with some saying that they supported a campaign to shift funding from the LAPD to more social and healthcare services during the pandemic. Many also called for the resignation of Police Chief Michael Moore or his firing by the mayor. And not just over his handling of the past few days, but also because of his rather extraordinary statement Monday that Floyd's death was on the hands of people who looted as much as it was on the police who killed him. Moore, who attended the meeting, has since apologized for his comment, saying it was terribly offensive.
And Chava Sanchez was out speaking to LA residents to get their feelings on the police. Here's what he learned.
Yeah, I spent the day driving around LA talking to people. And what I found amongst almost everyone we spoke to is that there's just a general mistrust of law enforcement and a desire to see policing change across the nation. One young Afro-Latino man I spoke to in Boyle Heights, Daniel Felix, told me about having the police called on him for simply dropping off food for a friend in a wealthy neighborhood, and then in his neighborhood having to wait hours for police to respond. Others we spoke to relayed other stories of unjust treatment they faced or seen by police, specifically in communities of color. People we spoke to feel that what's happening now is long overdue. Roscoe Owens from Leimert Park, who lived through the 1992 riots, sees the similarities that led to this moment and told us that he wants to see policing change. He would like to see community policing because right now the police don't feel like they want to be a part of the community. And this desire was echoed by a young black woman we spoke to at Echo Park Lake that said, F the police, but also there needs to be fundamental change to the way police engage with communities of color. Everyone we spoke to hopes that this moment leads to something different.
Next, here's Ryan Fonseca on the role LA Metro has been playing in the protests.
So on Saturday night, actually, Metro announced initially that it was going to suspend some services in the downtown area, especially given the civil unrest that was occurring there. But by 8 p.m., they had actually shut down the entire system. So all bus and rail lines countywide, we're talking about as far out as like San Gabriel Valley, South LA, Long Beach, everywhere. Transit was completely shut down. That led to a pretty massive outcry from riders who ended up stranded. And a lot of the people that are actually still on the system, because, you know, keep in mind, we're still in pandemic mode. So Metro ridership is down system-wide, but the people that are still in the system really need it and rely on it for essential travel to a lot of essential roles like grocery store workers, security guards, hospitals, that kind of thing. So there was a big outrage over that. And that kind of snowballed into a second layer of outrage around the fact that Metro buses were actually used every night since Saturday to transport people who've been arrested during protests to jail facilities downtown. Frank was actually out there Saturday night, has some pretty good photos of that. And that piqued my interest to really understand how does this kind of work, this coordination between LAPD and Metro. And so I'm working on a story about this sense of mutual aid that is cited and used, whereas Metro sort of is allowed to transport detainees when they're requested by LAPD. So I've been speaking to some people who have some questions about why that was used in this case and feel like it might have been an overstep by Metro. And so there are a lot of questions for Metro that will be coming up in the next few weeks as board meetings continue.
And finally, Austin Cross, our producer on KPCC's Take Two, published a poignant essay about his experience growing up as a person of color in the U.S. It's entitled Black and Tired in This America, and he joined us to talk about it.
You know, I came to this newsroom back in 2015, and I worked on KPCC's Take Two show. And what I really did is I took the lead on segments about race and policing. It was a very large issue back then. You know, names like Walter Scott, Sandra Bland, Philando Castile were on everybody's mind. And so we'd bring in everything from tactical experts to historians to faith leaders, even Martin Luther King Jr.'s former speechwriter, just to talk about the state of race and where things might go from here and how we grow and we build from here. And that was something that I really took a lot of pride in. I found a lot of purpose in that. But then came this particular death, and maybe it was something about the graphic nature of it. Maybe it was something about the fact that it happened amid a pandemic already. But it really struck something in me that was unlike anything I'd really felt before. And this weekend, I really had to sit down and come to terms with it. I mean, it was parts of dread and angst and things like that. And I took to Twitter and just kind of did a stream of consciousness. You know, this is what I'm going through right now. Going to be, you know, completely honest and open with people. It's a real struggle when the people who are getting killed look a lot like you. And there's no real reason why it couldn't have been you. And by you, I mean, you know, me. And so Megan Garvey, our executive editor, actually reached out to me after my tweet storm. And she said, you know, you've got a platform, share this with us. And so what I really do is I go through the story of how I came to understand my race. It took me a very long time because I grew up in West Los Angeles and race wasn't really a topic that we talked about there. I grew up as a mixed kid. You know, my father was African-American. He's black. My mother, she was also mixed. But, you know, it just wasn't a topic that really came up so much. But then when I moved to a, you know, slightly more inland area to Rancho Cucamonga, California, that's where race actually really became something that I had to think about and think about how people perceived me. And so this article is really just about how I kind of have come into the KPCC newsroom, hoping to change things for the community, you know, hoping that the truth will bring the change that so many people are hoping for. And then it's kind of about me feeling a little bit let down that those changes haven't happened yet. And then even kind of resolving to carry on, even though it's really hard to measure how that change has happened and what it might look like.
Thanks for listening to today's LA Report. Our reporting is made possible by listeners like you. Please donate today at las.com/donate to keep local news strong during this uncertain time. That's laist.com/donate. We'll have another report for you tomorrow. Until then, be safe. I'm Leo Duran. The LA Report is produced Monday through Friday. Subscribe using your favorite podcast app or smart speaker. And for the most up-to-date news around the clock, be sure to check in at laist.com/latest. That's laist.com/latest.